You people are all quitters.
I say to take you back to your days in the ring.
Don't worry. If you pass out, we'll just keep recording.
It'll be like Weekend at Bernie's. We can ad-lib his parts.
Leave me here.
No man left behind.
Whenever it feels right.
I'm surviving so far.
Is it sad that that's like my one shining moment?
One
no, shining no,
that
no.
is almost getting in a fight when you were asleep.
Hey, Phil. I have no idea what I'm doing. Okay, welcome back to another episode of Sports Flicks. Today we're going to be discussing a movie called Fighting With My Family, and it's based on a true story and it goes around a young girl and her journey into the WWE and has some familiar characters in there as well, I'm sure you'll recognize. We've got myself, Brad, hosting the episode today, and we've got all of our regulars here. We've got Mr. Rob Hyder.
Howdy.
Got Joshua Still.
Oh, yeah.
Not to be forgotten, Bud Still.
What up?
And, of course, our fearless editor, Philip Boone.
Let's do this.
So, before we get too far into the movie, we're going to play the trailer for you guys so you can kind of get amped up and get excited just like we are.
I'm watching that. Give me the remote. No, give it. It's off.
Zach, what the bloody hell do you think you're doing? You really want to choke her out in a lot of fingers?
Yeah.
Now pull it tight. Oh, yeah. Now she's in trouble.
Oh, wait, I know you. You're from that weird family, aren't you?
We're not weird.
We don't like wrestling.
How do you know if you've never been?
I've never had rectal bleeding before, but I'm pretty sure I'm not a fan of that.
Sorry about that.
It's The Rock.
We're huge fans.
Thank you so much.
What advice would you give us if we want to be the next you?
What are your names again?
My name.
It doesn't matter what your names are. You walk around here interrupting The Rock, you like you haven't seen the sun in 20 years. You like you just stepped out of Oliver Twist.
Please, sir. May I have some more advice, sir?
You want some advice? Here's The Rock's advice. Shut your mouth.
Thanks, Dwayne.
Got it.
If I call your name, that means you'll be coming with me to Florida. Paige. Thank you all very much.
You have to take my brother. No one deserves this more than Zach.
I wish you the best, son, but this is the end of the line for you.
Do you know what it's like to want one thing in life, and then your own sister takes it away from you?
It was my dream, too.
I have no idea who I'm supposed to be out there.
You're not just doing this for you. You're doing it for the family.
What?
It's Dwayne Johnson. How are you?
Prove it.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Yeah, and I'm Vin Diesel, mate.
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, after hearing that trailer, hopefully those of you who haven't watched it yet, that's already got you excited. And those who have, relive some hilarious moments and just some entertaining times in the movie. I kind of want to jump in on this one to one of my favorite things in it and see what you guys thought. I thought there were just a lot of big personalities and a lot of characters in this that really stood up and really helped the movie along. And it wasn't just about the mains. Anybody want to chime in on either some favorite characters or maybe even most disliked characters in it? Just something that really, somebody really made a lot for the movie.
I'll say this, going into it, I was surprised it was pretty much a British movie. I didn't know much about this movie at all going into it. And other than the fact that it was basically based off professional wrestling and that there were cameos by The Rock and people like that. But I was kind of surprised. It's like, it was pretty much like a British movie with American influences. So that was surprising to me. I also did not know Vince Vaughn was in it. I guess that was kind of a surprise. Didn't really feel like his type of movie to me.
Well, the movie is actually written and directed by a guy named Stephen Merchant, who is actually the creator and writer of The Office.
British Office.
Really?
Yeah. No, actually both. He ended up actually being the executive producer and creator of the U.S. version of The Office and ended up winning an Emmy for that. And
I believe he actually wrote a few episodes.
So a lot of the tongue-in-cheek humor and the British influence in this film is really kind of rooted in that whole Gervais kind of British comedy, because Merchant and Gervais, that was this is where it's coming from.
I'll say that I was actually expecting The Rock to be in more of the movie, because in the trailer, he's in a good amount of the trailer. And then all the posters that I saw of the movie, it was the family and Dwayne Johnson. So I was expecting him to actually be incorporated in more of the movie. And so I was wondering, as I was watching it, I thought, where's The Rock? I see him at the beginning and I saw him at the end, but that was basically it. So I imagined that that was one way that they thought they could
have
more people come, of selling the movie, is saying The Rock's in it.
But you know,
bring people to watch the movie.
Well, you know, he's actually the one who approached Paige about it first and everything, saying, I want to make a movie about you. So I feel like even though he wasn't in it a ton, he had so much influence in it. And I do think you're exactly right. I think a huge part of it too was wanting to, you know, get a familiar face out there. But
yeah, there's a quote from him, because he saw the documentary, The Wrestlers Fighting With My Family, which is on YouTube if anybody wants to check it out, which is about the family. And he said, back in 2012, I was in my hotel room in London and stumbled across a documentary on a local UK channel. Not only was I intrigued by this loving and wild family, but I also felt it's the kind of narrative that would make an amazing movie. So because he saw the documentary back in 2012, so obviously he's a big part of the movie. But I was just expecting him. I was surprised that he was in so little of it.
They overplayed The Rock and underplayed Vince Vaughn's of all.
Because I don't think I knew that Vince Vaughn was in it either.
And yeah, Vince Vaughn's character. Vaughn's character.
He's a major part. And
I mean, and I was a little skeptical of him playing that role, but I mean, I thought he did a really good job with it.
He's actually my favorite character in this, but I didn't want to talk too much about that until we talked about some other things.
Yeah.
Well, we're kind of talking about characters, so you can jump into that, Rob, if you got something.
And so as far as my thoughts on it was, is that Hutch Morgan is Vince Vaughn's character, and he's shown as like this total hard ass, you know, but what I really found very interesting about him is how perceptive his character actually was. And in just so few scenes, you catch way more depth to him than what just should have been like a throwaway, I'm a hard ass wrestling coach / trainer. I thought that really the speech that he gave, particularly to Paige in the parking lot after she had just totally made a complete and total ass out of herself to the other female NXT fighters, really showed just how insanely caring of a mentor he actually is, and he wants what's best for his fighters. But also, he's not willing to cater to anyone's individual wants or dreams by any means. It's always about, you know, it's not his job to create the pathway for his fighters, but rather help them discover, refine the tools that they have already in them. Right. And they would then be able to use his coaching to be able to use those tools to build their own path. He's already weeded out the ones that have no tools and no skills.
So yeah. Rob, do you
like
think
the brother?
Yeah. Rob, do you think it would be fair to say that it seemed like maybe he saw something in her the whole time, but he wasn't going to hand it to her?
Exactly.
And he was going to make her earn it, even though he saw the potential.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the same way for, I think, every one of those fighters that was still in his gym and under his tutelage. The movie primarily to me is centering around three themes. And one is about identity. The other is about acceptance of yourself. The other is mentorship. And I think that Hutch Morgan plays a huge role in that third theme, particularly in just being able to, what is it to be a good mentor? What is it to be a bad mentor? And this movie has a lot of very interesting ideas around that theme.
Anybody else have any characters that stood out to him or felt like really, maybe even ones that weren't as obvious, but maybe played a key role in making the movie?
I agreed. I liked Vince Vaughn as well. He was probably one of my favorite characters there. But I did really, even though I know that they're the main characters, I really kind of like the Paige and her brother dynamic, particularly with her brother struggling with, you know, the jealousy. And then, you know, he ends up playing kind of an important role for her because, you know, of course, he was jealous not only because it was his dream and maybe he felt like being in his position and kind of the older brother and stuff, that he would have more of the straight line path. But, you know, and then when it didn't work out for him, he was really upset. He had a kid, all this stuff. You know, he was really expecting that to kind of be his way to take care of his baby and all of that. But how that transitions from kind of this like depression that he has to then him utilizing some of maybe this skill set he didn't even know he had, which was the coaching and the mentoring in his place. And even they kind of tied that in with Vince Vaughn's character earlier on when he was kind of having that discussion about the reason I didn't pick your brother is essentially like he's like me. You know, he's nothing special. He's garden variety. And all he would be is a sparring partner and then maybe get to come out there and get thrown on his head or something, be nothing, you know, in the league. And I really liked how then he transitioned from being angry at Paige for taking his shot to then kind of embracing the fact that, oh, I helped create her and I was her first coach and I'm kind of her mentor and I'm like her behind the scenes guy, you know? So I kind of liked his character arc, I guess I would say. And also Vince Vaughn, you know, as Rob kind of pointed out, I liked him too, but throw somebody different in there. That's what I would say.
Josh, you bringing up the brothers kind of interesting because to me, this movie really, it kind of felt like a double journey film in where you had two main protagonists, which kind of surprised me because when coming into this movie, I thought that this was just Soraya's story, Paige's story. Mm-hmm. But really, this movie is 55% Soraya's journey and 45% Zach's journey.
Right.
And I thought that that was a very interesting way that they, the filmmakers decided to go with that. Mm-hmm. And it told a much more fascinating film to me, particularly because their two stories and their two paths just completely mirror each other, but kind of like, you know, ships passing the night, they're going in opposite directions from the same event.
You know, with that, I think Josh, like you hit on, he kind of became a mentor too in a different way, obviously, but like you were saying, I mean, he helped give the blind kid a sense of purpose when that kid was always pictured sitting in a park alone by himself. He actually taught him, which is ridiculously awesome that he was able to do that. And how Paige points out to him that, look at what you're doing. Well, then the other kid, the kid that was getting into what we were assuming
into
was
drugs,
drug dealing and stuff.
Yeah.
And
And then you had all the other kids that were just like vandalizing things for no reason.
And you know, one of my favorite lines from that, which kind of was the realization moment for Zach, I think, was when Paige says, just because millions of people aren't cheering your name doesn't mean it's not important. And to me, that was like, whoa. And you could kind of see the light.
At the same time, if I was the brother, I could see how that would kind of make him mad because it's like, it's easy for her to say that. Like, she's basically stealing his dream, right? Like, he was always a more passionate one. She just kind of got roped into it, then started liking it after the fact, right? So I think that was the other thing. It's like, my sister doesn't even love it as much as I do, and she's getting this opportunity, and she's preaching to me, even though she's going to be the one that has the people cheering for her, and I'm just supposed to be okay with it. I don't know. I feel like that whole exchange, and then I'll get to it in my cringy parts, but I feel like that whole exchange was I don't know.
Well, I see that.
Whose dream is it? To begin with, you're basically looking at the same family that, you know, LeVar Ball has here at the, you could easily substitute on in LaMelo and LiAngelo and Lonzo in here, for Soraya and Zach very easily. It's the same concept where they want to build their brand around their kids. And around their, I'm not going to say failed dreams because obviously they were wrestlers, but they weren't WWE.
Well, and I think.
And also, I was just going to say, like, the random older brother getting out of jail thing, that just kind of came from nowhere at the end of the movie. I mean, maybe I wasn't paying attention close enough, but I don't remember them even mentioning him. You see him.
They mentioned he was in jail whenever they were having the dinner with Zach's girlfriend's parents. They mentioned it then, but that was it.
Well, it's also it's mentioned by the girls at the street fair where she's handing out the flyers. Aren't you that mental family? Didn't your brother go to prison for something?
I thought she was talking about the other brother, Zach. You know what I mean? Like, about the older.
You need to stop drinking while watching movies.
What's the point in that?
The thing about Zach also, which I'm kind of with Bud that I can totally see how he felt about that, how that would kind of cut deep to him, because he's like, I'm the one that really cares about this. But in reality, he wasn't actually told flat out, no, you can't be in the WWE. He was told, in reality, he was actually told, if you go back and work out and get trimmer, have a little bit more muscle, come back and try out again. So that's another thing that, because in the movie, he was told basically no. But in real life, he actually wasn't. He was just said, just do these things and you can try out again and we'll see where you are when that happens.
Well, and that's an interesting
mention. More dramatic effect.
Well, you know, what also happened in reality, which makes it even more, and probably why Zach was even more frustrated in real life, was if you go and look at it, they said Paige didn't start anything with wrestling until she was 13. And like it, her family was.
Wasn't she 18 like when she got picked?
Right.
And her family. So 5 years is really not that long.
And Zach had done it since he could walk. And then she said she always thought it was boring. And then they finally convinced her to step in the ring one time and she got hooked. But, you know, that's probably even to your point, Bud, that's probably even more frustrating to him because it's like, I've been doing this my whole life. And she walks in 5 years later, she's trying out for WWE. I mean, that's pretty wild. You know,
slapping his face, honestly.
Well, you know, though, you think about it. If he would have
gotten picked. And she's the one preaching to him about.
Yeah. If he would have gotten picked.
People not cheering his name.
Yeah, if he would have gotten picked and gone to Florida to train, he also would have missed the birth of his kid, which was something. I didn't know if you guys made that connection, but that was kind of interesting, too. Especially with Vince Vaughn's character speech about, you know, not getting to see your kids and spend time with your kids because you're always away and stuff like that. That timing was kind of interesting, I thought, because she was still in the heart of training in Florida whenever Zach had his kid. So, Bud, kind of to what you were saying, hinting at some cringeworthy scenes, why don't you start us off talking about that?
Well, I feel like actually, since we were just talking about the whole Zach thing, that the movie dove way too deep into his depression after not getting picked. This meant way too much time on it, in my opinion. And like the scene where he's just staring off into space and the baby's crying, and then his girlfriend or wife, whatever she is at that point, gets mad at him. She's like, geez, Zach. And like, I don't know. And then like, he just, and I get it. I mean, he didn't get to live his dream, but at the same time, it's like, dude, get over it. I mean, you just had a kid, man. You got a family to support. And I get spending a little bit of time on it because it kind of develops the character. But I mean, as much time as I did, I did not like. It made me really start to not like Zach. And then at the end, he's all cheering her on once she makes it. You know, it kind of seems like, makes me feel like he's a front runner, that now that she hit it big, that he's on her side again. I don't know. It made me not like a character that's probably actually a good guy in real life.
I think that this goes back to the theme of the movie is really primarily centered around identity and your ability to accept yourself. And where you have the two protagonists that are next to each other. And again, they're kind of going in different directions. The Zach story is really centered around the fact that no, he does not know who he is without wrestling. He has no idea of what it is. And the whole idea that, you know, could you have a life beyond that? It's a bit, you know, like, could Tom Brady actually retire and know what he is? At this point, I don't think Tom Brady can retire. He must continue playing and beating my Chiefs. But,
Bud, I'm a little worried because I kind of agree with you twice in like a 15-minute span. And I'm worried what that might mean. But because I actually, there was a point when I started really disliking Zach, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And I feel like that was probably kind of the moments because you're like, what are you doing? While I think it was important to him to find his identity, I feel that probably a lot of it just felt odd and weird because it felt out of place for it to be that much of his being depressed in that movie. There are some movies where it would make perfect sense. It felt a little bit out of place in that movie.
They sold it a little hard, maybe.
Agreed. I think so. Well,
they spent too much time on it.
Yeah, well, I think it was important. I feel like they might have spent a little too much time on it.
I agree with you, Phil. I think part of that feeling that they may have gone too strong with this is the fact that they were trying to really parallel the two characters. And frankly, Zach's story was coming up a bit short on that side.
So, okay, so he doesn't make WWE or WWF, as I always just know it as. I mean, that's like saying if a guy doesn't make the NBA or the NFL that his life is over. If it was a more achievable career path and not like the 0.0001% of people actually do this, like say you want to be a meteorologist or, you know, a pharmacist or something, and he didn't make that, right? And he was forced to do manual labor the rest of his life. I mean, I kind of get it. But like, okay, sorry, dude, you didn't make the WWF. Like, how many people actually do? Like, get over it. I mean, I get it. His sister makes it. It rubs it in his face. But at the same time, it's, I mean.
Bud is not ready to be a motivational speaker.
Hey, come on, Bud. I know plenty.
I don't know. It just was cringy to me. It was
you guys have big dreams.
I know plenty of meteorologists who have never recovered when the Weather Channel rejected them.
How dare you have dreams?
I mean, hey, there's nothing wrong with having dreams, but you can't like neglect your baby because you didn't make the NBA or the WWE. How many, like, come on, bro. Like,
how many guys who still are living in high school do you know? I know several of these dudes.
Yeah.
They didn't make their dream and they end up living, you know, sad, bitter little lives like Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
I think I read a survey one time where 70% of guys or something said that they could have like made it to a higher level of sports, except that either A, they had a coach that was out to get them, or B, they had some kind of injury, you know, that held them back, you know, but none of them were like, I just wasn't good enough. You know, you never meet anybody like that. Plus, I don't know. I mean, you're pretty pragmatic, but as far as that goes, I think there's probably a lot of dudes that maybe they even played in college that then don't get a shot to play in the NFL and they become nothing, you know.
CFL, baby.
You know, maybe that was like them and their family's big shot, you know. So I don't think it's completely out of left field that somebody might not have your pragmatism, you know, about the issue and be like, wow, my life is over because I thought I was going to be LeBron James and now I'm not even, you know, anything. So,
Josh, I was going far until I had my injury in fourth grade. So that calf injury in fourth grade ruined my NBA career. So don't you say it didn't.
For me, it was stubbing my toe on the coffee table.
I thought it was punching the door in Jefferson or in your dorm.
I took away Bud's pitching arm, so
it was pulling my groin during video game football.
Xenoblade Dynasty. Well, and hey. Maybe I'm being too hard on Zach. I don't know, but and he was a kid. Like, so, I mean, if she was 18, he was probably what 20, 21. And when you're right. That age, you don't have that same level of maturity built up. So his probably did feel like his life was over at that point. But I don't know. Just maybe it was the way they did it. I don't know. I didn't like it.
It was over.
The movie itself was good. Was fine, but I feel like they could do with a lot less of that whole story arc.
So Rob. I kind of want to see what you think on something you kind of mentioned earlier. You were talking about the movie being about identity a lot. I thought one of the biggest parts of the struggle for identity in this was when Paige was trying to fit in with the other girls in NXT and did the whole hair dye and all that. I mean, I don't know. To me, I had that kind of fitting into a cringe scene too, because I kind of cringed at it just because it's like, wow, she took away the one, you know, what was making her. But Rob mentioned identity, and I think that right there was a huge struggle with her who she wanted to be.
I'll be honest with you, that was the scene that I had written down for me as a most cringiest, you know, cringe scene. The funny thing about movies for me is that I'll watch the first time through completely unwittingly, you know, I watch everything. And then the second time through when I was watching this movie, I actually ended up fast forwarding through that part because frankly, it's just painful to watch for me. It's kind of a funny scene in the fact that, you know, it's fairly benign and she's just dyed her hair blonde and she's trying to look bubbly like the other fighters. And in comparison, you know, of course, like Zach abandoning his baby and students. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's goofball in comparison, right? And it's a really cheap, easy visual on the surface. And frankly, it's a pretty lazy way of conveying her mindset. But damn, man, I just know how that feels to hate yourself so much that you end up forcing yourself to become something else, to wear that mask. And man, I just felt so bad for her, particularly in that moment. I think a lot of that also led into Hutch leveling with her in the parking lot, you know, after she makes just a total ass of herself in that scene. It's like, you know, you don't know who you are. You have no idea. Yeah. You grew up in a wrestling family. You've known nothing but wrestling. This isn't for you. You know, you need to figure this out.
Yeah, I'm with Rob. I kind of thought that scene where she bleached her hair, that's probably what I was going to say too, just because, yeah, it was a little heavy-handed. But I think it served its purpose too. So I wouldn't necessarily want to like throw it out of the movie or anything, because, I mean, you have to think that that's what made her unique and probably why he wanted to pick her versus Zach and some other girl. He had like a lot of the cheerleader types, and they went into it, which I'm sure, I mean, this movie was made by, at least produced by the WWE. So all the stuff that they talked about, how they got college cheerleaders and stuff to be the women wrestlers, is probably true. But she was different. You know, she was a girl who actually knew how to wrestle, and that's probably what he found interesting. Whereas Zach was very just plain or whatever. But then when she did that, she was going against what she was and what made her unique. And so then she was just a poor woman's version of these other girls, and she lost her identity and stuff. And what her identity is what made her unique and what made her different and eventually successful. So,
and it's always difficult to watch any movie where they change a big part of themselves to fit in. And the reason why Rob kind of discussed a little bit is because we understand that many people have changed something about themselves to fit in, change their hairstyle, change whether they wear glasses or not, change whatever to fit in. So we understand that mindset and understand the pain we go to sometimes to change one big part of ourselves to try to fit in with other people. So it hits a little bit harder when we see that in movies, which is why it's always difficult when we see somebody change their identity, because we understand what that's like.
Also, my other cringe part, when she actually wins the match, I mean, no offense to WWE, but we all know those matches are long since decided before they even step on the stage, right? I don't know, the way that they like added the drama, like, oh yeah, she beat her, the champ. It's like, she knew going into it she was going to win. I don't know, like the whole drama they tried to build up around that match, I felt like was a little bit fake, but that was less cringy.
Yeah, Bud, what was interesting on that is I read into the actual how that match actually happened, and I'm not sure why they decided to change it, but I thought it was interesting. They said in real life, they had her character go out there and went to go congratulate the other girl on her championship, and the other girl basically just went and got pissy at her, and they like, okay, well, if that's the way it's going to be, then da 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 da. And then they got into their fight, which that's not how it happened in the movie. There wasn't a going out to congratulate. So I just thought it was interesting that they changed that in the movie.
And speaking of what Bud mentioned about WWE and wrestling, you know who's going to win beforehand because that's already been decided. That brings up a question I was actually wanting to ask you all about WWE or wrestling in general. Is it a sport? What makes it a sport? Is it the athletic ability and the athletic endeavors, or is it the competition? Because if it's competing to be the best, if that's what makes it a sport and winning, then I would say it's not necessarily a sport because it's already fixed. But if it's athletic prowess and the athletic ability, then you could say that it is a sport. So where do we draw the line? What makes something a sport? And is WWE or wrestling a sport?
I mean, I feel like that debate's been going on forever. And finally, what, FS1 started showing WWE because they can justify it. I mean, honestly, really, it's all about getting the viewers. But do I think pro wrestling's a sport? No. Do I think all those guys are great athletes and it's incredible what they do and what they put their bodies through doing that 5 nights a week, every week, traveling all over the nation, world, whatever? Yes. But I agree with you, Phil, that I don't really feel like it's a sport necessarily because there's no real competition.
I didn't bring a sport.
I want to hear the argument of why you guys think it is a sport.
No. I agree with you, bud. I think
if anybody does,
I kind of go towards Phil in the fact of the intense training that it takes and all of that. Is in the athletic prowess, how good a shape you have to be in and all that. That's really the only reason I would even consider it halfway a sport, but I don't think it's at the level of something like football and baseball where you don't know the outcome beforehand. But I think it's kind of
the Astros
it depends on how good you're banging on.
The Astros did.
Oh, come on. I mean, college football is rigged, guys. College football is rigged. You get the same four or five teams every damn year.
That's rigged in a different way, though.
College football and figure skating.
That's rigged in a different way, though. Yeah, it's because they're getting the most talent here. They're in sideways. They're still playing the games.
They're still in the ring doing a match.
And honestly, even if college football was fake, even I don't think the producers would be cool enough to have us lose to OU that often.
They'd
have us beat them at least.
Oklahoma State is a Zach of WWE.
They're not out there pulling
punches.
You're
a journeyman who just gets dropped on his head.
But, you know, I don't think they're out there pulling punches and everything like they do in WWE and stuff like that now. And I don't think every match is every game is decided beforehand, but they are heavily sloped in many directions and heavily biased. I'll agree with you there.
Tell you what, Brad, you know, when Vanderbilt plays Alabama, if you honestly believe that game isn't already decided before a kick, I got some magic beans.
But that's like saying if you go up and go one-on-one with LeBron, it's not that you're throwing the game. It's just LeBron's 10 times better than you.
So what's the difference?
No, that's what I'm saying. In WWE, they're throwing the matches because they're going to a script.
I'm sorry, LeBron.
But they're not going to pull a guy that looks like, you know, Phil.
LeBron could beat all of us, all five of us by.
But my point is, it wouldn't be because they were sticking to a script. It would just because the talent level was different. And I think that's a lot of why we end up with the same teams in your playoff all the time, is because look at the recruiting, look at the talent level, look at the number of five-star athletes.
That's a joke.
And that's what it is. It's not that anybody's out there throwing a game or there's a script. It's just the talent levels are on totally different.
Just because it's not written down doesn't mean that there isn't a script.
You come to our podcast for Fighting with the Family, you stay for the ragging on college football.
College football hot takes.
College football sucks.
We got to work in our college football hot takes every episode.
If we really want to get Rob going, we can talk about how Brady probably went and handed Mahomes the script before the Super Bowl. How do we come full circle? Are we going to get into the Rob rant on this episode? You know, I think we talk cringe, but I'm going to combine these two guys because I think they can go hand in hand. What about just favorites or motivational scenes? I think there was a lot of potential motivational, but there were also just some favorites that were kind of slapstick funny too. I mean, what stood out to you guys?
Around the dinner table.
That was Zach's girlfriend's parents.
Yeah, that was by far my favorite scene of the whole movie. And Zach says, before they get there, can you put a shirt on? And his dad says, how bloody posh are they? Like, you want me to put a shirt on? The parents start kissing and making out at the table, making it uncomfortable for everybody. And then going straight towards watching WWE on the TV afterwards, and the dumbfounded looks on the parents' faces. That had me laughing. That was by far my favorite scene in the whole movie, was basically the dinner scene into watching the wrestling on the TV.
Three things about that scene, Phil. That was my favorite scene too. Number one is Stephen Merchant again, the guy who wrote and directed this thing. He's actually the girlfriend's dad. The other thing about that scene is that I caught a YouTube clip with Stephen and where he said that very scene is almost a near word for word reenactment of his first meeting with that family talking about making this movie. He goes, yeah, that it was a straight conversation and dinner there with them. And he goes, yeah, I've been to jail. And he's like, prison? What was that for? Mainly violence. That line kills me every time I hear it. Mainly violence. Yeah.
Well, for me, I really liked when they actually had it in the trailer, so I thought it was kind of funny, but that where Rock was, they kept like bugging the Rock, asking him different things, and he was trying to leave, and then he like goes like full character on him and calls the brother Oliver Twist and all this stuff, you know. I don't know, I always thought the Rock was awesome. That was back when I used to watch the WWE. He was like a big wrestler at the time, you know. He was like one of my favorites. That part was cool for me. Yeah, basically that scene. And then when he called the family too, you know, they didn't believe it was him. You know, I like that one too. So.
Yeah, I'd probably go with the Rock scene too. I feel like the dad in general kind of stole a lot of that movie. A lot of the funniest parts. Yeah, the dad involved in most of the funny parts, I feel like. And then we already touched a lot on this, so I won't go too in depth, but I feel like I liked Vince Vaughn's character. He was a hard ass, but also at the end of the day, you could tell that he was doing it because he cared. He was a believable good coach, I guess.
So, Brad, you were saying that this isn't a sports movie just a few minutes ago. This is definitely a sports movie because you have not one, but two montages actually in this movie.
Oh, no. I that's why I kind of qualified it as using it for a sports movie podcast, because there are a lot of things that are similar, even though I don't necessarily consider wrestling on the same level as a lot of other sports as far as a typical sport. But I think it fits the profile pretty well. It. I think it's something, obviously, we're able to relate a lot of it to other movies with a lot of the same questions, a lot of the same themes, just told in different ways from other sports movies.
Oh, and one part I liked was when he was like beating the Union Jack guy up with like the different stuff. I almost forgot about that. That was pretty funny. Also involved the dad.
In that scene, he's as one of my cringe scenes. Because it made me cringe. Oh,
okay. So. Made us all cringe, Phil.
Yeah.
I did love the full-fledged that market scene with the other girls with the, well, how do you know if you haven't tried it? Well, I've never had rectal bleeding before, but I'm pretty sure. Oh, well, right. Why don't I shove her head up your head and we'll see. One of my favorite one-liners from that, though, was wrestling's in my blood, like hepatitis. Really? Really? There was a scene in there, guys, where I'm still got mixed feelings on, because I feel like it may have been oversold a little. I think I feel like it may have been cheesy, but I think it may have had some critical moments in the movie. Whenever Paige started actually befriending as much as you want to with competition, the other girls at NXT, and it actually ended up helping her dramatically, I think that was a big turning point at training, but part of me feels like maybe that was a little over the top and a little cheesy. I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
No, it fits the theme of the movie. And also, think of it this way. The older brother, Roy, his only line in the entire movie is back to Zach, and Zach like, well, you would have made it if you had the chance to, and Roy goes, no, I wouldn't have, because the reason why Paige is getting this chance is because she had Zach was mentoring her. And I think that this goes back to her kind of denying who she is. You know, she's worried about her looks and these other girls, and when she finally comes back and she's just over it and she's accepted it and she knows who she is, her real self is what Zach has put into her, which is that mentorship. It's that ability to actually coach and to teach and to uplift. And yeah, that's natural to her character.
I feel like she discounted the other girls there for a long time, not even necessarily in the wrestling, but just as people. I forget what they were talking about, but there was the scene where it's like, oh, I didn't know this. And the girl was like, you never asked. Kind of showed she was kind of quick to judge who those other girls were, just because, you know, they had the cheerleader Barbie whatever look, that she was quick to judge who they were without even really knowing them.
I have two comments on Rob's point. That's what was so random about that older brother randomly getting out of jail. Like, I feel like that older brother gave the most powerful line in the whole movie when he said to Zach, he's like, I didn't have what she had. And he's like, what's that? He said, you, which is true. Like, he was like her ultimate coach even before Vince Vaughn's character came along. So I feel like that was like the most quote unquote powerful line in the whole movie. It was delivered by some guy we didn't even know really existed until the very end. Right. So that was weird to me. And then when she was befriending him and she gave that one girl a toy for her daughter or whatever, it was one of those random like Macho Man Randy Savage guys. You know, I used to have a Hulk Hogan one when I was a kid, and I just felt like that was just a random gift for a little girl. I don't know, but I mean, it was very on brand. That was weird to me. I don't know. Thoughts?
I'm with you, bud. I wish that they had actually kind of explored Roy a little bit more in this, because particularly you think about it, like, in just, we missed out on the dynamics of the siblings in this movie. So with that comment, does that mean that Roy was not a good mentor to Zach, and that's why Zach was not able to achieve? And where did this good mentorship, is this just natural for Zach to be this good? I think that's a weak spot in the film.
Well, you know, what's interesting on that, Rob, is if you look into it, the older brother actually never went to prison in real life. They added that in.
Really?
And people's best guess as to why they did that was to try to highlight the relationship between Zach and Paige more. But I feel like, Rob, what you're saying is 100% right. I feel like there could have been a little more depth with that other character.
I think that they were scraping whatever they could to try to get Zach to be a parallel character to Paige. And I don't entirely understand the motivation behind that plot or that style of film. This does work. The movie's good. But I think that, yeah, you have a weaker of your two protagonists when your story really is calling for two equals. And I think that, yeah, they were scraping rock bottom at a lot of points with Zach to just try to get something in there to really mirror it. Because it's astounding to look at the scenes side by side. You have both Zach and Paige, they're losing their complete sense of self after the decision, you know, that is made by Hutch to take Paige instead of Zach. And both have to hit rock bottom. Zach starts a fight with bar patrons, and Paige starts a fight with her NXT fellow fighters. It's really the two things just completely mirror each other.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt like he served as the older brother, served his purpose, I guess. He was in jail, and I just took it as like, I mean, they brought him up a couple of times, and I just took it to mean, like, when he said that, like, maybe he had been either in and out of jail or had been in jail for a prolonged period, and that's why he did that. I mean, I guess they could have, like, developed him a little bit more, but at the end of the day, you know, he was never going to be the focus of the story. You know, they wanted to focus the story around Paige, and she was obviously had a tighter knit relationship with Zach. You didn't necessarily need him to be fleshed out to say what he needed to say, which is essentially be the turning point for Zach to realize that, oh, my position or my calling isn't what I thought it was, which is to be a WWE wrestler. Maybe my calling was to be a trainer and a coach, and eventually maybe a Vince Vaughn type. So, I mean, that was my take on it. But
he was jailed for drunk driving in 2004 and then was in prison for a fray, which is possessing an offensive weapon and assaulting a police officer. So he was in prison.
Leave it to Phil to totally discount what Brett
said. Well, no. But if you
look, that you're wrong, but
if you look at the time frame when the training, he was not in jail.
Yeah. Well, I think he was in jail during the documentary is what I read whenever it was done. I don't know. I whenever he said that, I was like, I thought I saw that he was in jail. I was just wanting to make sure.
He had done some short prison since, I think, but they said that he wasn't in jail that whole time, that all that stuff was going on the whole time she was training and all that.
He went to jail.
That they kind of rewrote the timeline to kind of get the focus more around Zach and her. So yeah, they kind of rewrote the life to make it a little more convenient.
I never do that for movies.
Right.
And there goes Phil peeing in everybody's Cheerios and trying to make a Weird Al song out of everything.
Question so is, Phil,
what Weird Al song fits this movie?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it. I'm
You're
sorry.
Letting me down, kid.
I would say Beat It.
However, except that's about. except he didn't do Beat It. He did Eat It.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Sorry. Living in Amish.
I need to bone up on my Weird Al, I guess.
You know what? Those everybody does. So
it's living in Amish paradise.
And bone up, you will.
I need to celebrate his whole collection.
If we do start a segment called "What Weird Al Song Goes with This Movie," I'll be prepared every movie from here on out.
That's your homework. Every movie going forward, we're gonna just ask you that. just you. So, you know, a couple more little questions and then kind of get some overall thoughts and everything on your guys' movies. But before we do that, what do you guys think about hearing the opinions of the wives and what they thought of this movie?
Yeah, I think we should do that.
Cool.
Sure, why not?
Well, hey, let's cut to that real quick and we'll be back with you here in a minute.
Hello and welcome to the number one segment of the Sports Flicks podcast, the wives segment. I mean, to be fair, I believe it is our only actual segment we have, but it was voted number one in our latest poll. So yay for that. We're excited to have them here today. And today we have Jessica Wolfall, Michelle Hyder, and Erica Still. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
You all have been able to see the movie by now. You've seen Fighting With My Family. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Excellent. What is your history with this movie? And if you have never seen this movie before, was this one that you were interested in watching?
Well, I had seen it before, and it was definitely worth watching again. I thought it was a really good movie, and I liked all the family-ness in it.
I had never even heard of this movie when Josh first mentioned it. I never heard it. And I was kind of curious. It looked good. I was curious to see it.
I agree with Erica. I'm like Erica. I'd actually never heard of this movie before, so I can't really say I was interested in watching it, but I had no idea what to expect. Rob just said it was a movie about female wrestlers, so I had no idea what it was about going in, but I was pleasantly surprised.
What was your favorite part about this movie?
My favorite was Vince Vaughn. That was a total surprise to me, knowing nothing about it. I guess anything really would surprise me, so... He was definitely my favorite, and I liked the cameos from the real wrestlers like The Miz and The Rock. I don't know if there were others, but I thought that was kind of cool.
So my favorite was the dinner scene with the son's girlfriend's family. Everything from the romantic, quote, romantic story they were telling about how they met and got into wrestling was really funny to me. Everything from the mom saying, when we met, I was homeless, abused, living on the street. And then the dad says, I myself had done 8 years in prison. And then when the girlfriend's parents asked him what he was there for, he said, mainly violence, a bit of armed robbery. Like, he said it so casually, like it's no big deal. And then later they start making out at the dinner table. It was just the look on the girlfriend's parents' face throughout the entire dinner was seriously cracking me up the entire time. It was really awkward and cringy, but it was really funny.
One of my favorite parts was, well, I agree with the two that you guys said. I also had them on my list. But when she came out and, or right before she was about to come out and she was like all stressed and almost not going to do it. That was one of my favorite parts because then you see it click and it's just, you can see the miracle about to happen for her and like her life changing. So that was one of my favorite parts.
I will say with what Erica said that I would never have known if any of them, other than The Rock. The Rock, I definitely knew. I don't know wrestlers. So The Miz, I've never even heard of. So I would never have known if any of those.
I was going to say, Michelle, you might know him the way I know him.
I know him from the real world.
Mike The Miz, he's from.
Yeah, that's how I know him.
The real world. Yeah. It was like season way long ago, probably early 2000s.
Was it the Austin season? Or I can't even remember what season it was.
It may have been the Austin season. Yeah.
But, yeah, that's where I knew him.
That's how I knew who he was. Yeah. He's my favorite.
I apologize. I am not caught up on my real world. I think I've seen.
It was like real world back. Real
it's
world
way, way, way back in the day.
I think I
yeah,
saw
like when it first 20 started.
Years ago.
I think I saw one episode when I was in college, and that's about my limit. How much I've seen. So,
oh, man, I used to watch every season back in like high school, and I think part of college too.
We're going to make it
probably up until we got married, I think. Yeah.
I want to make a detour real quick from the questions that I was going to ask you. What is the best season of Real World? At least the ones that you've seen. If I was going to start watching the Real World, which season would I need to watch?
All the early seasons.
Yeah, all the first ones. The latest, at least like the first five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think that's probably all I watched.
That's a lot of TV watching.
Well, like you mentioned, Michelle, the Austin season is really good.
Yeah, the Austin season's good.
That's probably one of the best because you had that Cameron, and she's on Southern Hospitality. No, not Southern Hospitality. What's it called? It's like a Bravo show. Southern Charm.
Southern Charm. Yeah, Cam Wimberly.
Yeah, Cam Wimberly. I can think of her last name. Yeah, she was one of the original Austin.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, that was
it. Gosh, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that was Mike's season two, The Miz.
I can't remember.
Excellent, thank you. I wasn't even expecting to talk about
the your question. I don't know. Can you really have a favorite? They're all good. Like they were saying, like the early ones, those were the good.
Yeah, there were a couple of trashy seasons though.
The good days were the days before social media. It was very organic.
Crazy stuff.
Okay. So The Miz is either known from wrestling or from the real world. Good to know. Yes. Good to know. Excellent. Yeah. Thank you. Getting back to the movie, would you recommend this movie to someone else? If you randomly went up to Joe Schmo on the street, I don't know why you would do this. Would you go up to them and say, hey, you need to watch this movie, or you need to stay away from this movie and never even lay eyes on it? Which one would you choose?
I'd recommend it. I thought it was funny and had inspirational parts in it. And I thought it was all around pretty entertaining. I would recommend it.
I would too. It had some very, very comical parts.
I agree. It's not my very favorite movie of all time, but it's a good Friday night, movie night.
Out of 7 championship belts, what would you rate this movie?
4 out of 7, maybe?
I'd probably do 7 out of 7.
I'd say about 3.5 to 4 out of 7. It wasn't my favorite movie, but I liked it. I mean,
it was entertaining.
I would recommend it to someone.
Now, if you were a WWE wrestler, what would you change your name to? Paige changed her name to Paige. So what would be your ring name?
So at first I was going to be called H-Town's Killer because I wanted something that sounded tough. But then I realized it sounded more like a serial killer than a wrestler. So I went with, so this is my the name I went with, the Suburban Nightmare, Miss Hell.
There you go.
Wow. That's a lot longer than mine.
Yeah, and that makes mine seem too nice. I don't know.
Mine seems way too nice.
So I have to explain mine a little bit. In I guess it was the last podcast, I got a shout out from Jessica's husband about something that happened a long time ago. So I'm going to claim it and go by Syrup.
Oh, because yes.
I'm sweet, but I don't go down easy. That's what Josh and I came up with.
Wait, I don't remember that. When did he say that?
He didn't say my name, but he made reference to drinking syrup, which yes. I'll just leave it at that.
I will say he made that reference and I had zero idea what he was talking about. So yeah. I had no idea it was even referencing.
Honestly, I think the only people that really would have known were Brad and Josh. So yeah, and Mindy and Kevin. So. I'll be Syrup.
Okay, my names, I have a few. I picked 2. I went more for meanings. I put Moxie, which means boldness and strength of character, and because I think it's just cool. And then I picked Fallon because I've always liked that name, and it means in Irish superiority. So, you know, you want to be superior if you're going to fight people. Mm-hmm. And then I thought it would sound really cool for them to say, and Fallon comes in.
That's a good one.
No, those are all good. Those are all good. I'm excited for, I'm excited that Michelle doesn't want to be thought of as a serial killer. She's staying away from any of those names. So no, that's great. Thank you so much. As we end, would you like to say any final words? Rag on your husband, whatever you would like to do. If you would like to say any final words about the movie, as we end.
I would like to say another favorite part of the movie for me was when the brother taught the blind boy to fight. I thought that was really, really cool. And it showed that, like, you can persevere no matter what.
Yeah, I like that part too.
And that was a part.
Very inspirational.
And that was a part that actually happened. He, in real life, he actually did teach. That was not created just for the movie, which I thought was cool, that it was actually real life. You can find Michelle, Jessica, and Erica on their new Real World podcast called Real Women About the Real World. So if you want to listen, it'll be coming out hopefully next week or next month. I'll give you some time to really work on that and work on the title. I don't know if it was what I came up with was very good, but you can definitely catch them next month for the next movie. So thank you so much for joining us. And now back to those other guys.
Well, cool. That was really interesting to hear their thoughts and, you know, how they parallel and how they're different from ours. But getting back with these gentlemen and their opinions on stuff, there was one thing in this movie, guys, that I had to think about for a long time. You know, we ask in every movie, who was the non-obvious villain? Who caused the most disturbance in this movie? Who was the bad guy maybe that was doing stuff behind the scenes?
I feel like I made my point already about how Zach was the secret bad guy. So for most of it.
I'm going to go with the main protagonist in the film and say Paige, because of the way she did not want to incorporate herself in the world of everybody else there. She was basically the villain to the other people that were trying to become wrestlers. She was rude to them. She wasn't very nice. I think she was the villainous person until they became friends. And then at the end, she was not. I mean, because this movie really doesn't have an actual, like, villain that I can think of.
Well, Phil, I was actually going to say Paige too, but my reasoning was a little different too. I thought she was very much so the villain to herself and got in her own way over and over again. And I think it took her getting out of her own way to really, for her to really find success, but still same character, just different reasons. That's interesting.
Yeah, I would actually say Paige too, man, but you guys, I don't really have a whole lot extra to add to that, but she did. Yeah. I mean, she was kind of acted like she was better than everyone else and that, you know, that she deserved to be there more than other people, but then she hadn't put in the kind of work that the other girls that she was talking down to were more fit and could flip the tires more and all that kind of stuff.
Interesting, because I felt like Paige was the best wrestler there. She's the one that had wrestled throughout her whole life. So she was like the best wrestler, but also the underdog because she didn't look like them, and which is why she wanted to change her identity. So I felt that she was the best one there. So kind of a favorite, if you will, as far as that goes, but also an underdog at the same time.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting dichotomy that I thought of while I was watching it.
Give her a break, man. Florence Hugh, the girl who plays Paige in this movie, she's in Black Widow this summer. She wasn't in Black Widow before this movie. So, you know, she doesn't have like superhuman strength yet.
Can you imagine?
Obviously, the hidden villain that you guys are missing in this movie is Zach's baby. That little thing has caused a lot of problems in this movie, and it won't stop screaming while Zach's watching the TV.
Trying to get drunk in peace.
That baby put so much pressure on him. Like, once he couldn't get the WWE, you know, that baby was still hungry. He still needed to eat.
Yeah, still needs diapers, man. WWE. And, you know, they tried doing the cloth diapers there to try to save money at the beginning. That never works.
Never works.
There will be no saving of money that way.
If anybody makes it with cloth diapers more than 2 weeks, I give them a round of applause, man. Yes. Oh, Phil, he's racist.
We're still using, even though I think we're quitting right now with Lee, and she is two.
Yeah, I'm impressed. Yeah.
I'm impressed. I didn't even know people like you existed.
And we did. We quit with Adele probably after 1 year or so. But we're trekking along, but now it's not working anymore, so we're quitting cloth divers at this point.
Man, I'm impressed.
Yeah, me too. I'm just tired thinking about that. Wow. Okay, well, guys, I think we've hit on a lot of good points here. Really dug into a lot of deep stuff here, but I think we can kind of hear hear everybody's overall thoughts, maybe a little rating system. And I think the idea was brought up to do a rating out of belts, as in championship wrestling belts. So, you know, let's do your rating out of 7 belts.
I'll give it a 6. Give me 6 belts out of 7.
6 out of 7 belts from Mr. Hyder.
High praise.
Hey, it could have gotten better if there had been more Roy and less baby.
Pro Roy, anti baby.
I'll give it 4.69 out of 7 belts.
4.69 from Mr. Bud. Joshua, what you got?
I'll say 4.5. Two, I'll go around, but I liked it overall. I liked the overall story. At first, I wasn't really sure where it was going, you know, and then I like kind of the overall message. It's one of those movies I don't know if I would watch a ton of times, you know, but I did like it for what it is. And what I thought was unique about it is that it's a sports movie that focused on a female athlete. And I got to kind of thinking about that after I watched it. And I couldn't really think of too many other kind of inspirational sports movies that, you know, as someone with a daughter, you know, if she was into sports of some type, you know, having different like movie role models the same way that men do. You know, a lot of sports movies focus on men, you know. So I just thought that was kind of unique, you know, and kind of cool, you know, to have that kind of inspirational story for maybe some other, you know, little girls out there.
That's a good point, Josh. That's really good.
That's an excellent point. I didn't think about that.
About you, Mr. Philip Boone.
This movie, it took me a little bit to get into. Did enjoy the dinner table scene and all that. But I feel like it wasn't and I enjoyed that, but that was kind of separate at the very beginning. It probably didn't take until they were actually in Florida and doing that I really started like being fully invested, at least me personally. But then the rest I just loved. So I'd probably give it about 4.5. I'd probably get about 5, but it took me a little while to get invested into it. And I don't know if anybody else kind of felt that way.
5 out of 7 belts.
I give about 5 out of 7, but I enjoy it a lot. Don't know how often I will come back to it. Could see it being a movie I come back to every once in a while. Just, hey, that was a good movie.
Well, you know,
Bradley,
I kind of thought about this in a couple ways. And if I'm basing it on an overall movie rating, you know, I'd probably give it a solid 6 out of 7. If I'm rating it on it being a sports movie and saying how good of a sports movie is this rank, I'm probably leaning more towards the 4.5-5 range. I think it's got a lot to it that would be good in a movie, regardless of if it was a sports movie. And so I don't, because not the whole movie focused, you know, it didn't focus as much directly on the sport as it did a lot of the drama going on around it. But I think as an overall movie, it was a pretty solid flick. And Phil, did you mention that you had looked up some various reviews by the professionals?
Yes, I have a couple of short ones. On Rotten Tomatoes, critics gave it a 93% positive. An audience gave it an 86%. Out of all of them, there are 223 fresh tomatoes and only 18 rotten.
Wow.
They really definitely enjoyed it. Robert Krauss said, "It is a universal story about outcasts who create community through sport and heart combined with the kind of soap opera and spandex storytelling that has made wrestling so popular." And I enjoy that because I enjoy soap opera and spandex, just that tidbit from it. And then Yasser Medina said, "Although it offers an interesting commentary on self-acceptance, insecurities, and tenacity, in the end, the charm disappears to favor a boredom of almost 2 hours."
So, whoa,
that person was not a fan. But I try to give one, whenever I give the reviews, I try to find one positive and one negative. So there weren't very many negatives, so I had to really search for one.
But I'm surprised it got that high ratings, to be honest with you. I thought it was had some good parts, but to be honest with you, I can't promise you I'll ever watch it again. I mean, it was maybe slightly above average, but
I think a lot of it was probably got the reviews more from a storytelling perspective and the fact that it was true story stuff more so than it being a sport theme movie, if that makes sense. Because you could fit a lot of that theme stuff around a lot of themes or a lot of movies that didn't have anything to do with sport, probably.
And a lot of what makes me not necessarily go back to it as many times is that, quite frankly, professional wrestling has never been my thing. And we really didn't talk about our histories with professional wrestling. But even as a child or middle school or whatever, that everybody really gets into it. I remember thinking it was ridiculous. So I've never been a fan of professional wrestling. But it was a good story. If it was that good of a story mixed into like a basketball or a baseball or a football movie, I might come back to it more often.
And I think that's a good point. And surprising as it is that I picked this movie, dude, I've never sat down and watched even a 30-minute block of WWE or anything. I mean, ever in my life, which kind of surprised me that I got drawn in a little by the movie because that's just never been my thing. You make a good point there, Phil.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to say that it's been a while since I've been into WWE. Okay. But
so Josh,
last week, you guys never liked that stuff. Okay. I was like the Hulk Hogan fan, like back when I was a little kid, I thought that stuff was cool. And then like, you know, I think 99, 2000, when you had like Stone Cold Steve Austin, you had Goldberg, you had The Rock, man, that was like cool stuff, man. Bud and I used to watch that and we go and talk to our friends at high school about it, man. It was called the Attitude Era these days. It was cool. Now, I mean, I haven't watched it in a long time. You know, from what I read, sounds like Paige is like actually helped get the real life Paige, helped make the divas more popular. They weren't really as popular when I watched. But, you know, so she's probably a pretty big deal. I've never seen her wrestle. You know, I didn't watch back then. But I'm telling you, man, I used to watch like Raw. I'd watch Thursday Night SmackDown. I think for either Bud or I's birthday, I don't remember which, we like did the pay-per-view for one of the Royal Rumbles. Man, and that was so cool. So yeah, I was really into it. So for a time in my life, I was
yeah there was a period of time Josh and I were both really into it. The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Goldberg time. Yes. And then who was that other WCW guy? Booker T. I liked him. He was
Booker
cool.
T, yeah,
lesser known.
Goldberg from Oklahoma.
He was Tulsa.
Yeah, he is, yeah, from Tulsa. Yeah.
And then the Degeneration X.
That was back when he had like an undefeated streak, man. And it was like a real big deal when he finally lost. But his like special move was the spear. And I think that's why we liked him, because he just tackled people, like basically like a football player.
And then D-Generation X was huge, you know, Triple H and all that. The whole like X-ing on your crotch, like, you know, it was a big thing back in those days. I don't watch it anymore, but there was a time and a place in my life for it.
Rob, we've all kind of told our connection or lack thereof with wrestling stuff. Did you have really much of it growing up?
Got drunk one night in college and watched WWE.
What didn't you watch drunk in college?
I didn't watch this.
You can't say Dora the Explorer.
I knew who The Rock was. I know, obviously. I mean, that's pop culture. If you didn't know who The Rock was, you were living under a rock, literally. But did I watch it? No, not really. I mean, none of my friends are really into it. I respect the athletic ability. And also, I look at it not so much as like a sport, but it's athletic entertainment. If you want to watch some, it's got a storyline. I can understand how this is entertaining to certain people. It's just not really my thing.
I think you could kind of take it back.
Whatever, Rob. I know you had an Austin 316 shirt.
Well,
and you know what? I once actually believed college football was real.
You know, well, I was thinking about Harlem Globetrotters are a great example here. You know who's going to win any game when you go watch the Harlem Globetrotters. You know they're going to win. But that doesn't discount their insane skill, training, and athletic ability that go, all of that that goes into making that happen, you know. Harlem Globetrotters ever lost, it would be a sad day. But I mean, you think about it, it's not dissimilar.
That's a good point, though. I mean, even the WWE calls itself sports entertainment, right? Yeah, I mean, they know that there's an entertainment aspect there. But I think that, you know, and the movie talked about this a little bit, but there is an element to the to professional wrestling that is a competition, and that's becoming popular, you know. And you could look at that as like the same way maybe actors try to be popular because they try to pick roles, and the WWE may set people up to win certain fights or whatever so that they can maybe have a chance. It's really on the person to ad lib and create a character and create like something that connects with enough people to make them popular, you know, either as I think they call it a baby face for the good guys or a heel as the bad guys. People that don't make an impact, that don't become memorable to the crowd, they just, you know, they fall off, you know, and then they end up not being in WWE. So somebody like The Rock, you know, there's probably been hundreds of guys that are built like The Rock, but they don't become The Rock because they don't have his personality. They don't have his flair. They don't have, you know, his quick wit and what made him him. Same with Stone Cold Steve Austin and other guys like that. I mean, there's a difference between why they got popular and Jimmy the Bulldog ended up hanging out for 2 weeks and then they left him in Vegas, you know? So I think at some level, you know, yeah, you can kind of get set up. Yeah, you're going to win this fight against British, you know, massacre head guy, whatever. But if you don't make the impact, if you're just out there like, yeah, you know, then you fade into the crowd.
Well, guys, I think we've had a lot of good talk on this tonight. And Phil had mentioned to me that we've actually got several new podcast reviews. And as we always do with our valued subscribers, we promise you give us a review, we're going to read them on the podcast. So, Phil, if you don't mind, I think we'd love to hear what people think of what we're doing with our podcast.
Yeah, man. So far, we have 22 ratings and all of them are 5-star. So that's definitely good. We have HFHFJFNRBFJ says, as a movie podcast and sports fanatic, I have found this podcast and loved it. I am not going anywhere else. Love this show. So thank you, Gabe. Don't go anywhere else. Stay subscribed to us. Fatherhood Circle wrote with the title, Great Sport Talk with a Twist. If you like sports shows, this is the place for you. I don't know what the twist is, but I'm glad we have one. Trevor 123123 says awesome. And then he says epic podcast.
Epic.
I think we all know Rob's the twist.
Rob's the twist. I'm a little worried because
he's the one that stirs the drink.
That guy's handle was Family Circle.
No, Fatherhood
Circle. And I'm here bashing babies on this podcast.
Uh-oh, Rob, you're going to get a bad review for
it. I hope he's already rated us a 5, man. I don't think he can take that away.
Then we have someone I've never heard of. Hightower8655 said, He said, good show. Guys have good rapport. And wife segment is a nice touch. Subscribe. It's free. So thank you.
His wife made him actually say nice wife segment.
What'd you say?
His wife probably made him say that.
I don't know. He sounds like a pretty smart guy to me.
Thank you, wherever you are, Hightower. We have Senior Gal 02. Mini episode 1B is the one they listened to do this review, because that was their title. I love that you guys would want to see a movie about the 2011 Mavs. As a Rangers fan, I'm sad you didn't say 2011 Rangers, but because I'm a fan of theirs, I'm always sad, LOL. This was so fun, and I'll be listening to more episodes. So thank you, Senior Gal 02. And then Nick Shore wrote, and his title was Not a Fumble. So good sports pun there. I'm not a sports guy, but I love sports movies. This is a fun podcast that peels back layers of these films I didn't see before. Look at us doing good work here.
Peel banana.
Oh, we dig deep. We dig sand deep.
Back layers.
We raise Dolman's work here on the sports like flicks.
Hey, isn't that what they say in Shrek? Like, aren't ogres like onions? You know, peeling back layers.
Basically, our podcast.
I like that. If we're peeling onions. You smell like an ogre.
Our podcast. Hey. Our podcast is like onions. We stink.
We make you cry.
We make you cry.
We stink until we make you cry.
Those are the reviews. So definitely leave us your reviews, leave us the ratings and all that good stuff. Give us a 5-star rating, we would prefer. If you give us a 1-star and leave a review, we will definitely read it. So whatever you have to say to us, leave us a rating and review. You can also, we have a new email, sportsflicksjustgiveusclicks@gmail.com. Flicks and clicks, remember, have X's instead of CKS. So it's sportsflicksjustgiveusclicks@gmail.com. And then Twitter and Instagram, we're at sportsflixpod. So that's where we can be found.
Is it F-L-I-X or
F-L-I-C-K-S? Every time.
I feel like we should clarify.
Every time you try to contact us, and if we say the word flicks or clicks, it's F-L-I-X and C-L-I-X. Always do the X for those two words.
Which Phil had to compromise a little of himself for that, because as we all know, Phil is in love with grammar and proper punctuation and proper spelling, and it's killing him a little inside every time he has to talk about that.
No, what's killing me is I am doing those. I'm have the email and the Twitter and all that stuff. So anytime if I write flicks, because there was another podcast that used the word flicks, so I was writing it in and I spelled it F-L-I-X. I was like, are you kidding me? So now I'll never spell
my work has again. Been done here.
Cool. Phil, thanks for reading us those reviews. And, you know, I guess the next best thing would be to send it over to Mr. Robert Hyder to talk to us about what movie are we going to be watching next time, Rob?
Yes. So our movie that will be coming up next has once been described by Bob B. Sanders as a cheeseburger with extra cheese, and G_Cotier as puts my faith back in the movie business again, in which I have never really believed in anyway. So, on top of those two wonderful reviews, we will be watching Ford vs. Ferrari, which was nominated for a best pick back in 2019, which feels like a lifetime ago. And I really hope that you guys and everyone who is following us along on this podcast will come along for the drive, and a good time next time on Sports Flicks.
All right, guys. Well, Rob's movie selection for the next full episode sounds exciting. I know I'm excited to go and watch that one. So hope you guys are too. In the meantime, we're going to have a couple of mini episodes coming up and releasing, so be on the lookout for those. Those will be coming out on the 15th and the 25th, so be on the lookout. Make sure you tune into those, and those will get you through until we get to watch Ford vs. Ferrari with Mr. Rob Hyder hosting us.
See you, world.